When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, car makers are fighting the Euro EV targets, the Ford F-150 Lightning gets discounted, and the MG S6. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you about the true cost of EV charge cable thefts. We'll start with news of a leaked position paper. This is from the European Car Makers Association, the ACEA. They're proposing changes to the upcoming EU, European Union, CO2 rules, a move that campaigners say weakens the electric vehicle targets. This is fascinating because this paper wasn't ready to be published. This is probably their inside thinking. This is the stuff they've been discussing. Some of it might not be concrete. Some of it there might be disagreement of. But this is a position paper from the car makers themselves, the environmental group, Transport and Environment warns that their proposals, more than 10 requested amendments to the 2035 clean air rules, including counting a shabby hybrid towards the zero emission totals, they're not zero emissions, and also changing how plug-in hybrid emissions get measured, could sharply reduce the share of BEVs sold by 2035 in the European Union, which would effectively, they say, halve the ambition to sell zero emission cars in 2035. The ACEA responded that, well, I mean, the response from the car industry was through a press office. It's the kind of stuff you'd expect them to say, that electrification is a principal route to decarbonisation, but that the pace should depend on the market demand and on what they call enabling conditions. Once again, the car industry saying we need adequate charging infrastructure. When it wasn't there, Tesla built their own, for instance. But the car makers are saying, come on, build it for us. Effective purchase incentives and fiscal incentives to make BEVs attractive, they say, and lower overall costs. These are all things that have been, well, pretty much the same call for the last 10 years, they've been saying. And there's so much price parity now between combustion and electric vehicles. Battery prices are dropping every single year. How much more attractive and lower cost do you want EVs to be before they are handsomely profitable? Well, that is, of course, the point of running a car company. ACEA says flexibilities are needed to allow time for conditions to materialise without penalising manufacturers, and that alternative approaches should be examined. Yeah, some of these alternative approaches include artificial fuels, fake fuels that would burn in the engines they've got already, but require a lot of carbon to create them. And they say, oh, well, excess renewables. And of course, that is exactly the same thing that hydrogen fans have been saying. Excess renewables. Well, there's no excess renewables at the minute. And actually, if you're going to run a car, run it on electric. That's the most efficient way of doing it. Policymakers should preserve the 2035 zero emission sales target. It's 10 years away. Think about where the EV industry was in 2015. And then imagine a time in 2035. And things are progressing and moving forward so quickly. I don't need to say China is providing some of that momentum at the moment. And of course, that infrastructure is accelerating. There are incentives in many countries and regions, states and things like that. And so, you know, of course, they're always going to fight their corner and ask for more. Here in the UK, we've had these zero emission vehicles, the ZEV mandate, not exactly called that, but we call it that. And so far, no one's paid a fine. They all said last year, we can't possibly hit it. And nobody paid a fine this year. This year, so many of them said, you know, Ford have been vocal, Toyota, we can't possibly hit it. And this year, chances aren't no one will pay a fine. There's you know, credit trading and selling more BEVs and all those kind of things. And so, well, complain and comply is the playbook of the car industry over the last however many decades. And, well, they're sticking to it. Right, let's talk about the Ford F-150 Lightning prices getting cut, regaining its lead as the United States' most popular electric pickup truck. Ford reclaimed the title of the best-selling EV pickup in 2025 after losing it to Tesla's Cybertruck last year. They've sold more than 10,000 F-150 Lightnings in Q3 versus about 5,000 Cybertrucks. Through September, Ford sold over 23,000 electric pickup trucks year-to-date. Tesla about 16,000, 38% decline on the Cybertruck versus the same time in 2024. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear everyone who wants to buy a Cybertruck has probably gone and bought one now. There's probably not 250,000 people a year that want to go and get one. Fascinating vehicle, a lot of innovation inside it that never gets talked about, but a popular EV, perhaps the Cybertruck is not. To sustain momentum at Ford, though, they're cutting the F-150 Lightning prices and increasing the range, trimming the flash trim by $4,000, Lariat down by $2,000, according to Ford themselves. Now, the MG S5 is what I meant to call it all in one go. It's not an MG pause S5. Because, well, Audi wouldn't like that, would they? So they call it the MG S5. No gap. Say it all at once. Say it quickly. You'll get away with it. So far they have. And now there's a different version, a bigger version coming. The MG S6 Euro NCAP crash test photos came out ahead of any particular official reveal. The official debut, would think, is coming. But the crash test photos are out and, you know, great Euro NCAP scores, by the way. But this is the first public images that I've seen, at least, of the MG S6. So two-wheel drive, 1,900 kilograms curb weight, same design language as the S5. So low-mounted headlights, narrow triangular DRLs, and a full-width rear light bar, which, you know, is just de rigueur these days. Interior shots show the digital instrument display and a steering, all similar to the MG S5. Euro NCAP says that the S6 was tested as a two-wheel drive vehicle with a single rear-mounted motor like the S5. That's a 228-horsepower motor, 0 to 62, 6.3 seconds. So this would be a slightly larger, heavier S6, maybe a little bit slower. And again, battery capacity and range not disclosed, well, not launched yet, but the S5 uses a 62-kilowatt-hour pack, 288 miles rated on that WLTP. So you're right in the ballpark there of Renault Scenics and Nissan Arias, all around 300 miles. MG's pricing would be somewhere between the MG S5, a bit more money than the MG S5, which is some good deals on that at the minute, by the way. I was having a look at the MGs, just not to buy one, not just re-educating myself when I was, you know, lying in bed waiting to fall asleep and on Auto Trader, spending money I don't have. And the MG S5 has got some really good deals on. Get pick up a used one, fantastic deals. The old car that we used to own, the MG ZS EV, stellar deals on that. Oh, and don't talk about the estate as well. The MG5, that is, again, just pick up a used one. Some of them are quite high miles, by the way. I'm wondering if they've been taxis or not. Ridiculously cheap. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. MGS6. So pricing somewhere between the MGS5 and that new IM brand, which they're bringing over here, the IM6. And so maybe it would be around low 30s. MGS6 looks like a proper Model Y competitor, actually, but it will be obviously a lot cheaper. This thing looks great. I mean, obviously, apart from the massive dent in the side of it, because these are crash test pictures. But ignoring that bit and all the airbags having gone off, and this thing, well, I think this looks really good. Another probably really compelling family vehicle that's very affordable from MG. Let's talk Tesla and the standard versions. Not standard range. I always want to say standard range. It's just the standard trim version of the 3 and the Y. The new cheaper versions that have launched already in the US and Europe, coming to China, but not yet, actually. They're codenamed E41 for the Model Y and D50 for the Model 3. These are lower price, stripped down versions of those two vehicles. Tesla China is developing their own versions rather than just copy-paste, I presume. So it says here that they're, according to CNEV Post, coming out of China, and 36KR reporting that they're entering validation testing now. I suppose they could be the same vehicles that have to be validated in China under different rules. Preliminary timelines say, and multiple sources say, mid-2026. So why not sooner? Because China's so important. Well, design and validation documents show that there's elements from the current 3 and the Y in these validation vehicles. Look, these are the standard vehicles that we've got already coming to China, but why not already? Well, we got them on October the 7th, or North America got them October the 7th, trimming the price by about $5,000 and taking away around 20 or so features, some of them quite big and some of them more inconsequential. 36KR says that the reason why China hasn't gone for the cheap Teslas yet is because of the Model YL. That's the long wheelbase version. It's a proper three row, not like the third row for people without, you know, legs. And that's selling really well in China, so they don't feel the need to go down market just yet. Hey, good news as well for Tesla Model Y owners in Texas. Texas now offers a grant of $2,500 for EVs, including the Model Y, which of course is made on home soil now in Texas. Well, the incentive is delivered through the Light Duty Motor Vehicle Purchase or Lease Incentive Program for purchasing or leasing new vehicles or conversion systems powered by alternative fuel to partially offset the changes to the federal EV tax credit. It'll operate until March next year or until funds are exhausted, and will disperse up to $2,500 per eligible vehicle, not just on the Model Y, but I'm using that as an example because, of course, that is made in Texas. Buyers who purchased outright or who lease for 3 years or longer get the full $2,500. If you lease for a lower time, there's a kind of a step down, you get less money. Current owners and future buyers also qualify. So if you've already bought your car, your EV in Texas, well, the grant can be claimed by those who use the federal tax credit in September as well. In fact, this is only available for people who have gone through either a long-term lease or the purchase process. You need some certain documents and stuff in Texas. So that's good news that you could be getting a check in the post, or however they do it, if you've bought an EV in Texas lately. Maybe you qualify. Go check it out. Now, Vauxhall has published its twin motor, all-wheel drive, Grandland electric pricing. Qualifies for the UK EV grant of £1,500, not the full amount, though. The twin motor model is also £1,500 cheaper than the single motor version. So, yes, you heard that correct. It's not a typo. The dual motor all-wheel drive version is considerably cheaper than the one you can buy at the moment, which is a single motor. It starts at $36,995, but with the grant from the government, the GS entry-level model is $35,495. 16-inch infotainment screen, wireless Apple and Android integration, 10-inch digital instrument cluster, wireless smartphone charging. It runs on 19s as standard, with some cool black exterior detailing, little illuminated Vauxhall badges, electric tailgate. The ultimate trim, which is only $36,995 after the grant comes off, gets you matrix LED headlights, heated windscreen, a heated front seat, head-up display, and a better hi-fi system as well. The all-wheel drive Vauxhall Grandland is their most powerful electric model today. 320 horsepower, 0 to 62, 6.1 seconds. And the big battery is 73 kilowatt hours, 311 miles on that one. DC fast charging is about right for this mid-priced family SUV market. 160 kilowatts peak. It's all about the curve, isn't it, really? You don't want a car that just hits it and drops off straight away. So they give the 20 to 80 time in 26 minutes, which is a fudge. We always want the 10 to 80 time. Please. Now, Waymo will run a pilot of fully driverless Jaguar I-Paces in London next year. Waymo operates driverless services in six US states and entering Japan, with their vehicles covering more than 100 million miles. The announcement comes following a June confirmation that Uber will also begin trialing driverless vehicles. Under current UK law, privately owned driverless cars are not allowed. We get them, I think the legislation allows, from the second half of 2027. But there's a government framework which allows companies like Waymo and Uber to run pilot services. There's little driverless Jaguar I-Paces, which I've only ever seen on YouTube videos, never even ridden in one. I've not been to the States in a while. Are coming over here to London now. Rivian's RJ Scaringe, he's the CEO, says other automakers, aka his competition, must build in-house software to stay competitive as AI becomes central to EV experiences. He warns the current approach, which is little islands of software dotted around the vehicle that don't communicate with each other, and the abstraction layers between the code being written by third parties ending up with the manufacturers, all prevents deep understanding, which is needed for the best practice in an EV. He says the way Rivian does it, obviously he would say this, which is to make its own tech stack with its own code. They have a joint software development program with Volkswagen as well, as you know, reported up to $5.8 billion. Reports from Germany, I believe it was Manager Magazine, I haven't noted that, they might have been Handelsblatt, last few weeks have been talking about how that relationship is strained, as Volkswagen have been saying, oh, we need to make some more combustion cars in the short to midterm. We need to make some money. And the Rivian bit of the partnership effectively saying, we have no interest in rewriting our code to work out, you know, litres of fuel per minute and making little bangs in your cute engines. We make EVs and that's it. And so I think there's some fallout in that partnership and what was described as a crunch meeting, although there was perhaps a little bit of perhaps journalistic, you know, embellishment going on in that one. Or maybe it was. Maybe it's crisis times there. I don't know. The model, though, that they've got with Volkswagen, RJ Scaringe saying this week that others should be emulating. Without in-house capabilities or partnerships, car makers risk falling behind as vehicles rely on their own software and integrated AI. Let's go to Germany now, where Ian Bivay is opening a 14.2 megawatt solar park with EV battery storage. A new solar park is coming in southwestern Germany. It generates enough electricity for about 5,500 households. It is 810 kilowatts, 2.34 megawatt hours of stored energy, supplied by Encore and DB, Deutsche Bahn startup for energy storage, using old EV batteries. So whether that's EV batteries that have come from car makers, from, you know, validation vehicles, test batteries, batteries that were no longer needed, that weren't in saleable vehicles, they've all been used, about 360 of them, from about 40 different vehicles, to add storage to this EV charging station. That's really cool. Now, at full charge, the storage can supply the equivalent of about 2,500 German households for 3 hours. So it's grid connected as well. And that's, I love that. Stuff like that is brilliant about using EV batteries in cool ways. Right, we'll take a little break. And when we come back, lots more to talk about on the podcast. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the show. Now, final few stories. Firstly, Tesla, facing weak demand for the Cybertruck, has found an ingenious way to get rid of some of the Cybertrucks that have been on, they're not dealer lots, are they? But, you know, in inventory, in Tesla's parlance. They've now begun selling their vehicles to SpaceX and XAI. Now, why would XAI, which I presume is an anonymous office block somewhere in America full of fabulously smart AI coders and engineers, Why would they want a fleet of Cybertrucks? Well, because Tesla can't sell them. And I can understand why SpaceX might need some vehicles to do, you know, things, taking people off to the rocket launch sites and high-profile things like that. But XAI, well, maybe they do need a fleet of vehicles for writing software. But either way, Elon Musk has found an ingenious way to sell a bunch of Cybertrucks that nobody wants, and that's to sell them to, effectively, himself. SpaceX and XAI have taken receipt of what they call a substantial number of vehicles, an internal transfer that follows a lot of Cybertrucks sitting in inventory. The Tesla engineer Wes Morrill, who led Cybertruck development, saying on social media he is delighted to see the vehicles being used across various Musk companies. Now, the New York Times has released a new calculator. It's an EV versus gas car calculator to compare lifetime ownership costs of EVs versus gas cars. Users choose pre-selected models or enter your own vehicle specs. The tool combines purchase price, efficiency, planned ownership years, and annual mileage to work out your ownership costs. It accounts for EVs' typically higher upfront price, but lower ongoing costs from reduced maintenance and cheaper charging. A graph projects total cost up to 15 years and marks cost checkpoints at 5 and 10 years, showing if and when an EV becomes less expensive than a gas car. One limitation to the calculator: you can't adjust the charging location for how much you pay. And, well, you and I know that if you charge an EV at certain times of the day, and, you know, in a sunny climate, that might be during the day in sunny places. Here, it's overnight. So it's, well, you know, wait for people to have their dinner and, you know, head off to bed. So maybe 8 or 9 p.m., the grid gets, you know, very much underutilized here. My cheap rate kicks in at 11:30 p.m. on Intelligent Octopus Go, and then that runs through to 5:30 a.m. And so for me, it's overnight hours. So we know that charging EVs at certain times of the day is many, many times cheaper than charging it on a DC fast charging station. And so, what are New York Times for making a cool sounding calculator? I haven't actually tried it in practice myself, but you, it's a material. It's not an insignificant thing, is it? It would make a material change of when that EV becomes cheaper to run if you can't input what you're paying overnight versus public charging. So, yeah, they've work to do, I think. And finally, theft and vandalism at UK EV charge points has caused losses running into millions of pounds in the last 3 years, and some say threatens confidence in the whole EV rollout in this country. A Freedom of Information request to more than 30 police forces disclosed over 200 incidents between 2022 and the middle of this year. Nottinghamshire and South Yorkshire forces together accounting for over 100 cases in the past 3 years of cables being cut. Now, Allego, which is a CPO in this country, Allego submitted the Freedom of Information request to the police forces, cautions that these figures are the tip of the iceberg because many of the incidents go unreported. And 40% of forces contacted couldn't supply data. They're not recording it in their records as charger cable theft. Maybe it's just a keyword mismatch thing, but they weren't able to match the crimes with what was being asked for. Criminals typically target the copper, actually. Many metals in the cables. It's the copper they want. Each cable on a typical DC fast charger would be about £20. That's maybe $25 of copper. To repair them, I would say, first of all, there's the inconvenience. Then there's the repair cost. Instavolt, another CPO here, reports roughly 100 cable thefts in the calendar year 2023-2024, costing £410,000. Like, that's a significant amount of charges they could have put in the ground, but they were spending it on fixing problems caused by low-life scumbags. Allego says cable theft harms drivers and erodes confidence in the network, and we need better design, deterrence, and faster remediation to limit the costs and preserve reliable electric transportation. It's a bigger issue than I thought because I don't see it. I don't do a lot of miles anymore. I tend to work from home with our two young kiddos and you know, I got my work cut out there for various reasons due to circumstances. And so I've largely given up doing anything but this podcast so that I can be there for them. And so I don't do a lot of miles anymore. And I don't see it. But just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not a massive problem. If you see it, then I'd always love to know, and send me a picture or something, and you can always email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com, direct email. And is it a bigger problem where you are than what I see down here? I did see my first ones at the swimming pool that I take my little seven-year-old boy to. It's a leisure centre. There's like football pitches for kids. There's a kids gym, kids swimming pool, and a kids soft play area. And they've put some EV chargers there for the parents, DC fast chargers, to recharge. So yay! Well done, you guys. Well done for stealing all the cables. They're all just roped off at the moment. And brilliant. Well done. Well done, people. Thanks for listening and supporting the show if you do on Patreon. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.